This is Just Women every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
So welcome, Emma Griffin. Welcome to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. It is really nice to see you this morning.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Oh, delighted, because you are a copywriter and I want to hear all about what a copywriter does. Because I think it's so interesting. I really, really do. But before we get on to that, what I'd love to hear is, what led you to copywriting? Did you adore English at school, or what brought you to it? And what were you doing beforehand?
So I actually came to copywriting in a bit of a random way. For a start, I had no idea what it was at all at school. And I'd always been very good at English. I'd always enjoyed writing and stuff like that. But at that sort of age, you kind of get funneled into two directions. So either you're a good writer, so you're going to go and be an author, which is a pretty lofty ambition to have at the age of sort of 16.
Absolutely.
Or you go off and be a journalist, which again, not such a lofty ambition, but a very competitive one to have. So I basically ignored all of those things, and I actually ended up doing a degree in psychology because I'm really interested in people and kind of how our experiences make us tick. And I did enjoy it, but I got to a point where I'd graduated and I knew that to kind of continue, I'd have to go and do a master's and go and do a PhD to train as a clinical psychologist. And my heart just wasn't in it at that point. And to be quite honest, I spent so many years being a student, I just wanted to go out and start earning some money. So I had the panic that I think a lot of people have at sort of 21, thinking, okay, yeah, I've got this degree, what do I actually do with it now? And I decided that I would revisit what I'd always liked doing, and I retrained as a journalist in a super short course. It was a 20-week one in Wimbledon. It was like super, super full on and intense.
From there I
tried to get into journalism jobs, and I did a few on local papers and things like that, which is an absolute rite of passage for anyone who is training as a journalist. But I'd always had these kind of dreams of being a features writer in loads of, you know, like the Sunday supplements and things like that. That was what I really wanted to do. And it turns out that is so competitive to get into. I was sending out all these emails and these really, really cringy sort of video interview things, just having to record myself talking about myself to this, like, you know, wall of people I'd never seen in my life, for internships and stuff in London. I just wasn't getting anywhere. And I also couldn't afford to do internships in London for free either. So
yeah, that's a whole nother point. I agree.
That is a whole other thing. Yeah, like so many, you know, especially in the arts, you basically just have to be able to work for free. And that is an incredibly privileged position to be in, that not many of us can have. So right. So when I say I came to copywriting in a slightly roundabout way and didn't really know what it was, I did not know what it was until I basically walked into my first job, which was because I'd abandoned the journalism thing, but I'd found this company who wanted someone to write blogs and things like that. And so I was like, okay, well, that's kind of like articles, so I'll go and do this. I'll do some content writing for them. And then when I got there, it was all this other stuff as well. So it was very much, you know, marketing for the company. So it was writing their email marketing, product descriptions, various campaigns and things like that. And that was really my first taste of what turned out to be copywriting, having had no clue before.
And did you enjoy it at the beginning?
Yeah, I loved it. I think actually looking back, I mean, I was so underpaid and I was just did so much. The amount of stuff I got done in a day as that junior copywriter is just mad to me now. But it was a real baptism of fire because I pretty much learned everything I've ever needed in that first job. And I was only there for, I think 2 years, maybe not even that, 18 months. But it really was a full on crash course in everything I've needed since. And from there, yeah, I was super lucky. I got some really great jobs at really good companies. I was at the White Company for a number of years and I loved that.
Wow.
And
learned
a lot there. Yeah. So I really kind of just bedded down into those kind of fashion and lifestyle brands in London for a few years.
Yeah, fantastic. And so obviously you were doing what you wanted to do. You were enjoying it. You learned a huge amount. And so what took you away from the corporate world like that?
So it really was, I wasn't expecting to go and start my own business at all. Basically, it was one of those scenarios that seemed, basically I got headhunted for what I thought was a dream job. So for a start, so I've always lived outside of London. So for the first 5 years of my career, I was just doing this punishing commute day in, day out. The trains were always delayed, cancelled. I was spent so much of my time freezing on station platforms, waiting for the next train to come. And yeah. So I, you know, I was, it was fun in my early 20s, but I was getting to a point where I didn't want to do that anymore. So this dream job kind of plopped into my inbox. They're like, oh, we really want you for it. It's kind of like a head of content role at somewhere that was way, way closer to home and I could drive to work. And it seemed amazing. And then I got there and I quickly realized that it was not going to be amazing. It was
actually
really awful. It was just, you know, I'd gone from working in these really quite established companies to one that was trying to compete with them, but was just not at that same level. So I went from, you know, having a team of sort of 8 more writers around me to being basically one of 2 writers doing absolutely everything and expected to do the same amount of input plus a more senior role on top of it. Everyone leaving, very, very stressful, no processes. And basically I catastrophically burnt out, and I also developed quite severe anxiety and depression as well. And I was only there for 8 months, and those 8 months were incredibly, incredibly difficult. As a part of my life, I really was like dreading getting to the office every day. I wasn't sleeping. I lost a stone in weight because I actually wasn't even feeding myself, because I just had such a constant nauseous pit in my stomach. I wasn't even able to eat properly. It was a really dark time. And actually what happened was that I went to the doctor, and, you know, predictably I got signed off with depression and given a prescription for antidepressants and a 2-week sick note to go and take in. And I just thought, I can't use this. Like, I can't take this in to my boss because nothing's going to change. I'll just be off for 2 weeks. They'll be like, oh, she can't handle the job. And then, you know, I'd have come back and everything would have still been the same, except it would have had 2 weeks of piling up of my workload, which was already too much. And so I think even from that really, really quite dark time where I was incredibly, you know, my self-esteem was on the floor, I felt like I couldn't do my job properly, and I was really questioning everything that I'd thought I'd always wanted out of my career, because I'd supposedly reached the point where I'd always wanted to get to, and I was failing miserably. But somewhere inside there was still this little tiny spark of, you know, like, I'm not going to let them win, I'm not going to let this happen. And so the idea that I'd kind of had in the back of my mind for the last few years, but I'd never done, because I was super comfortable at my old job. So you don't take big, scary decisions when you're in a comfortable place. I was like, do you know what? I'm going to try. I'm just going to try and freelance and see if I can do anything with it. So I was just working so much. I was doing a full day at work. I was taking my laptop in with me in my lunch break. I was sitting in my car and literally kind of like pitching people, seeing if they needed extra support, needed freelance writing support. And in my evenings, I was going home and doing all of that. And that went on for, I think it was a period of about 4 weeks, but it got to a point where actually I'd secured a couple of regular clients and I was able to save up a little bit on the side. And I was able to hand in my notice, and really I just, from there I never looked back. It just flew.
That's such an incredibly uplifting story to hear, actually, because your entrepreneurial spirit and your fight coming from a low place is really quite extraordinary, because normally often you think you could fight when you're coming from a very strong position, but that is very uplifting. And so, my goodness, so you come out of that really difficult thing, you actually are creating your own business now. So what were you actually spending your day doing as a copywriter? For myself.
So when I first started, I kind of thought, oh, I'll carry on contracting for similar sorts of brands, which is partly what happened because I'd built up quite an established network. Obviously, people who I'd worked with in the past then moved on to other companies and they knew I was freelance. So, you know, if they needed support, they were like, oh, get Emma in. But what happened in reality, as we all know, when we start a business, it never, you know, you can't actually visualize where it's going to end up. So I discovered, obviously, this whole world of other women who were doing the same thing as me. You know, they were small business owners, they were consulting, they were doing something like that after leaving, you know, corporate roles. And I realized, wow, like there is a whole world of people who actually really need my skill set. And so I started to, you know, like write website copy for entrepreneurs, or, you know, write email stuff, email funnels and things like that. And I realized I just enjoyed it so much more, because when it's one-to-one like that, I can really see the impact that I'm having on someone's business. And I love building the relationships too.
Yes, absolutely. I think the building of the relationships works so well in business, doesn't it? And women, on the whole, it has to be said, we do really like to help and promote each other, don't we?
Yeah.
And so you can often have really, really good, solid business with that. And so you specialize now, do you, in entrepreneurial women and their companies?
Yeah, I do. So I do have a niche, but it's quite a broad niche. So I do pretty much work only with women. I'd say 95% of my clients are women, and most of them work in what I would say coaching, consultancy, or creative roles. So, you know, brand photographers, someone like an Instagram strategist, a marketing consultant, a virtual assistant, people like that. They are the people that I work with the most. And in terms of what I love doing, I love writing website copy for people that really, you know, captures the essence of who they are. Because when you have a personal brand, it's so, so important that people, there's no disconnect between when they're reading your marketing and actually, you know, speaking to you in person. It's really, you know, it's so important to build trust and get that rapport and also attract the right clients for their business as well. So yeah, website copy, email campaigns, and, you know, if someone's launching a program, I love doing a full sort of launch package for them to really get that out there.
Yeah, no, that sounds fantastic. I think often, even if someone has a strength with their own business, they're not going to know exactly how to put their own personality into their brand and how literally to write the copy. So you are an essential part of that, aren't you? And perhaps people need to realize that more often. I was looking at your Instagram, and I loved one of the strap lines on it, which was, if your coffee has more waffle than a breakfast buffet, we need to talk. And I really loved that, because it's sort of, I related to it totally, because if ever someone was going to waffle, it would be me. So
we'll do it.
Exactly. So you can make the message really clear.
Yeah.
And make the brand stand out. No, that is really fantastic. I love that. And so do you have, for example, I think you mentioned something called your copy clinic.
Yeah. Yeah. So my copy clinic is designed, because most of my work is, it's fully outsourcing, you know, website copy and stuff to me. But I know not everyone's in a position to do that. You know, you might not have the right budget, or your business might not have been going for quite long enough. So my copy clinic is designed as like a really fantastic, quick, intensive halfway house for people who have only just started a business or who have already written their website copy, but they just know it could work harder. And so you'll get a 60-minute session with me where I will have done lots of prep work, basically like your teacher did at school, like marked everything up in red pen effectively, and just made it so much stronger, and with the aim of like really capturing that message and making sure that it's super clear what you do, who it's for, but also so that it's, you know, primed to actually convert into, you know, sales calls or sales and clients.
Absolutely. And what sort of notice do people need to have to be able to book you in?
Oh, so yeah. So normally for other projects, I'm sort of booking out, you know, 2 months or so in advance. But with copy clinics, I can normally fit them in within the next 2 weeks. And all they need to have is either a website with copy on already or a Google Doc with, you know, a draft of what they would like to be saying. And as long as they've got that, we can cover off 2 to 3 pages in that session together and really get it a lot stronger.
That sounds like a really good way to move the business forward. I really do think so. And so very importantly, so where can we find you?
You can find me in various places. So I'm quite active on Instagram. So you can find me at Emma Griffin Writes on there. You can also use the link in my bio there to sign up to my email list. So I email twice a month with a lot of copywriting tips and a few kind of, you know, things about running a business as well, which I think are quite relatable. Or at my main website, which is emmagriffinwrites.co.uk.
That is brilliant. And so, yes, as you say, so newsletter, you can sign up to the newsletter, see you on Instagram, see you on the website as well. And really you can help all sorts of different people with their businesses and show them how to really expand their brand with the copywriting. That's fantastic. Yeah. So interesting to actually hear more about what a copywriter does. And I can see that it definitely from your Instagram, etc., and from your website, just how experienced you are, but also it's fun, and you'll make it fun and approachable for them. So that really
I do try.
Well, Emma, that was great. Really, really enjoyed talking to you today, and thank you so much for coming on Just Women.
Thank you for having me. It's been lovely.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio.